This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Wes, we have done an amazing job here in Greensboro in a very short period of time. Here is our arena. Look at that, Packer and Durham Arena.
You guys have been busy.
Yeah, haven't we though?
Again, at 10:01, it will go back to its normal Greensboro Coliseum complex.
Holy smokes.
But we own the joint for another 2 hours. That I know for a fact.
Good thing we've classed the joint up with Debbie Antonelli here.
No doubt.
We've extended her play.
No doubt.
I love being here.
It's another contract. You sure?
Yeah. Oh,
are
yeah.
You sure? You promise?
I'm totally in. Yes.
Okay. All right.
And by the way, we are streaming live on that ESPN app, not to mention SiriusXM Channel 371. We would take calls, but we're so slammed today with guests on the road as we get ready for the quarterfinals. And again, the big surprise so far has been the 13th seed, Wake Forest, taking care of business, winning a couple games. And hey, you never know, man. March Madness is crazy stuff. It doesn't matter if it's conference tournament play or even next week when everything gets cranked up with the men. But nevertheless, Louisville, the team to beat. However, Debbie, as you've pointed out, NC State certainly capable.
I don't think there's any question. The way they share the basketball, the way they play through the post, their depth has gotten better. All the players last year that tore their ACL that are back, those three seniors were starters when they went out. Grace Hunter led the team in scoring when she blew out her ACL. Now they're back. They're healthy. They're deeper. They shot the ball well in their last game, so I think they're coming in with confidence. And it's been a while since NC State's put a banner up in the Reynolds Coliseum since 1991.
Yeah.
So they're due.
You know, we were talking about the most important game in the regular season in the ACC. I really thought was Louisville going to NC State.
Yes.
Everybody kind of circled it on February the 13th. You could see it coming weeks out. State had the lead. Louisville had, you know, stubbed their toe a couple times. And that night, though, Louisville basically rolled into Raleigh and said, you know what? We're the best team. And NC State's awfully good. But I thought that was the pivotal moment of the regular season. Now we get to this. We'll see if Louisville can cash in.
I agree with you. I had that game. I thought that was the most important game on the schedule for both those teams. Elizabeth Balogun had been gone the two games prior. Louisville was coming in having lost two. Elizabeth Balogun was with the Nigerian national team qualifying for the Olympics, which is a hard thing for Jeff Wells to do, right? He lets one of his best players go, but it's the right thing to do, and he knew it. That's why he did it. So she comes back. They're in rhythm. Kylie Shook dominated Elisa Cunane. I think that was what was surprising about the entire experience is that Cunane didn't handle Kylie Shook's defense very well. And Kylie Shook can play players one-on-one. She doesn't need help because she's the best shot blocker in the league.
Yeah.
And I thought NC State got out of rhythm. They played off the bounce too much. They took the shots Louisville wanted them to take. They didn't move the ball well. And it was a tough environment to lose. It was sold out. And then they let that loss turn into two because Georgia Tech came in there the next night.
I want to go back to a couple things about the State-Louisville game and then the carryover to the Georgia Tech game. And we talk about Elisa Cunane in so many different lines. But Kylie Shook that night also challenged her when Louisville had the ball. And I remember you remarking, I believe during the broadcast, about Shook's ability to catch and pass and to make plays from the elbow, make plays at the foul line area. She becomes a challenge. Now, Cunane deals with it. But the Kylie Shook defense and the Kylie Shook offense, seemed to really make Louisville go.
Well, they both shoot the ball well, both in that matchup. It's a really interesting matchup because they both can score on the block. They both can shoot the three. Kylie Shook has no problem pulling up in transition and hitting the trail three. And her game, she's gotten better over the course of the season. So the beginning of the year, she got the shot block record, and she's continued to allow Louisville to extend their defense, to play up the line. They can play three-quarter court. They can do a lot of different things because you have somebody on the back row that you trust.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a dominant factor in that game.
Does last year come into play at all for NC State? I know it's a different team, a different year. Mm-hmm. However, it was the same situation, quick start, unbelievable start, and at the end there was the sputter, right? It just didn't quite get it going. I kind of feel the same way a little bit with the Wolfpack, with that golden opportunity against Louisville to basically kind of close the situation and be the number one seed. They're still really good. They're still really talented, but they did stumble a little bit down the stretch.
Yeah,
is that just coincidental, or do you think mentally they got to get over that hump a little bit?
I think they've mentally crossed that hurdle already. I think last year, because West did a phenomenal job. Look, you lose four players to ACL, three starters, and you still get to the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. You stub your toe here. Maybe you needed a little bit of rest, or I'm not sure. They didn't play well here. I think they'll play well tonight. I think they'll be ready to go. They shot the ball against Virginia well in their last game. They made 13 threes in a row before they missed. And I think Kunane is back. I think she's strong on the inside. I think she's handling the physicality of that post position. She's handling the attention better. And I think that their balance is really tough. And Wes has a lot of pieces that he can put in. I mean, he's got depth. He's got ability to change the tempo defensively with his guard play. He has the ability to adjust how they guard their ball screen defense on the fly. I mean, this is a high IQ team. They're connected. And I think they're going to play really well here.
All right. But here comes Nell Fortner and Georgia Tech, who rode Francesca Pond last night to another win. I'm the momentum she created in year one, and you told us this in October. I mean, this was going to happen. And they fired out of the gates. They had the dip. But then they come back at the end. They get the Florida State win. They get the NC State win. They picked up enough, Debbie, to lead you to say, okay, Nell, Westmore's just not going to, you know, pop it out of gear tonight and cruise. They're going to have to work for this one against Nell's team, it looks like.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, the size of Nell's team, the length defensively of Georgia Tech, and then Pond, if she gets hot, you know, like you said to your point before, Pac, you know, somebody can come in here and can get catch fire, and she's a player, Francesca Pond, who can certainly do that. But NC State's got to score in transition. They got to play their tempo. They can't let Georgia Tech dictate the shots that they get. Pond had 30 in that matchup the first time. I mean, she was playing like an All-American. And she's a senior, and you know how seniors come into this building. It's your last chance, and she certainly played like that. We saw Kobe Thornton from Clemson do the same thing on the first night, having 27, a career high. So NC State's got multiple defenders they can put on her. They can go big or small, and I think they're going to have to get out in transition and score.
There are three players still left in this tournament who scored 30 or more in a game. You just mentioned Pond. We just talked about Lewis at Syracuse and Gorecki at Duke. I think that, and when it comes to tournament play, we get it. There's always pressure on the ones and the twos. I don't care what league you're in, men or women. But do you have a person in this day and age, and especially offense, and you talked about offensive basketball last hour, do you have somebody, when it gets going, that has the ability to be able to put 30? There's not many teams that have that. And we got a couple, though, still left in this tournament that can do that.
Yeah, I think the three that you mentioned certainly are capable. I think Dana Evans is due for a big game.
Yeah.
She could drop four or five triples. If you lose her in transition and make a mistake on her, and then her ability to get to the free throw line and her ability off the bounce, I think she's a player that has that. Kunane is close. They'll play through her and to her. She could get 30. I think she's a player for NC State. And then, of course, you mentioned the ones that are still alive. Kiara Lewis is a ball dominant guard for Quentin Hillsman. He will run a lot of sets for her in the open floor, a lot of drag screens, a lot of step-ups. And if something's working, he won't overcoach it. He'll keep going to it.
Debbie, in the men's game, when we get the tournament play, we always talk about, hey, you better have a great backcourt. Guards run it. Same deal with the ladies?
Oh, no question. It's all about the guards. You know, they dictate tempo. They dictate your defense. They handle pressure. They get you in your sets. The point guard play in this league is exceptional. They all understand time and score, especially in a late shot clock. So I think it's going to be really exciting. I mean, you know, we all, people say defense and rebounding wins championships, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's guard play and scoring that's going to win it here.
Of these eight left, who's in the tournament? Who needs a win? Who do you feel confident about going to next week? Or week after, I should say.
I think there's six teams in the ACC that I think are in, and including Virginia Tech, who lost in the first round. I still think that they're a tournament team.
Okay.
I think Georgia Tech, what's going to happen with them playing Pitt is their RPI could drop, even though they got a W. Hopefully that won't affect their numbers significantly, but if they had lost, they would have definitely been out. I think that though Georgia Tech, if they could get a win over NC State, I think that definitely would solidify their position.
Okay, Charlie Cream's got Georgia Tech as one of his last four in. Syracuse in an interesting spot here today?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, they've got some good wins. If you can sweep Louisville, beating them twice, that would be significant. They already have a win over Florida State as well. That would be exceptional if they could do so. I think they might be an NIT team. I think Quentin might be fine with that this year with this group of players if that's an option for them. But you know, the Louisville is good. And NC State at one point was on the one line. So was Louisville. They were at one point we're on the one line.
That's where I wanted to go with you, the other end. We always talk about the bubble. Can Louisville get to a one seed if they dominate this tournament? Is that possible?
I think it's possible. I think there's some other factors. Maryland certainly is in the hunt there. Maryland's a one seed right now in bracketology. When the reveal came out, the NCAA had Maryland as the one and Louisville as the two. The thing about the women's tournament that's different than the men is we don't have analytics in helping seed our tournament. And geography is a very heavy weight. So having said that, we don't have a true S-curve. It's part of the reason why I've advocated for one regional, because I think we could have a true S-curve and have a real opportunity to get a national champion through the mathematical formula plus the eye test. But I think Louisville's going to be in Fort Wayne. Whether they're a one or two, it does not matter. It's geography that's going to carry a heavier weight because they're a 3.5-hour bus ride to Fort Wayne, and that's going to matter. Unfortunately, that's the way it is.
But, you know, sometimes, though, you got to walk before you run, right? I mean, it's all part of the development of women's basketball in the tournament. And it's certainly a hundred years.
I agree with it, but I think.
But it's light years ahead of where it was 10 years ago.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Oh, yes. And there is a change coming. In 2023, the NCAA is going to go from four regionals to two. I still going to think geography is going to play a role in that. However, here's the thing. Like, if you're a fan right now sitting out there and want to go follow your team, we have Selection Monday. And then you have geography. So you really don't know. As a fan, you could, if we were in one spot, you could buy your tickets, your airfare, and all that right now. And we don't have that big of a fan base like the men have that just are fans of our game. We have fans that are fans of a particular team.
Yeah.
So I think it would just be better for the fans. Honestly, it would help grow our game that way. We'd sell tickets a lot easier.
I think you're right.
All right. Thank you for the time. I know you're working
today,
guys. And this is awesome. Debbie and Beth Mullins will be here tomorrow on ESPNU with the semifinals. Sunday's title game is on the Deuce. That's what they used to say, the old school ESPN pack, Deuce.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
It began as an intimate affair gone wrong, and the battle between two families gave birth to one of the greatest rivalries in sports history.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord.
Packer and Durham from our arena for another hour and 45 minutes. The ladies take center stage 11 a.m. sharp.
Oh, my goodness.
Wake Forest and Florida State. That's right. The Deacs, the 13 seed. Florida State, the 4 seed. It's going to be good. We got four of them right here today.
Quarterfinals are available, by the way, on the ESPN app and also ACCNX. But as we join you from break, you got to see a quick history bite of Duke Carolina round two tomorrow night, 6 o'clock at Cameron Indoor Stadium. And, what a treat to have Carlos Boozer from one of the best backdrops we've ever offered anybody on this show to join us here. All right. Number four, that's a pretty strong backdrop. What's the temperature there in, SFL this morning?
Yeah, down in Miami, it's like 80, 82 degrees, 83 degrees, real nice. Palm trees everywhere. Very nice.
I guess Bristol just kind of brings you back to square one in Alaska when you go up there for the studio hit, doesn't it?
It definitely does, man. Definitely does. I mean, honestly, I love being in cold weather too, though. I like layering up. I love snowboarding. I grew up in that environment in Alaska, so I really do enjoy being cold. But if I had to pick a place to live, it was going to be somewhere warm. Thus, I'm in Miami.
Well, I'll tell you where else it's going to be warm, Carlos. Cameron Indoor Stadium on a Saturday night when the light blue comes in to see the dark blue. You've been a part of this. The first one was a great game. They've had so many great games, you almost lose count. What's the key tomorrow night for you pick? I'm going to sense Duke to win the ballgame.
The first one was such an instant classic, man. Carolina had that game in control the entire game. Obviously, Trey Jones did a great job hitting that ball off the rim, making a shot, take it to overtime. Obviously, a couple calls go Duke's way, and they win the game in overtime with a great miraculous comeback. Tomorrow night, it's going to be senior night. It's going to be exciting, a lot of energy in the building. I'll be in the building. I'm going to be going crazy as well. But the biggest thing is always being able to not get too high, not get too low. If you get over emotional, sometimes you can try to do too much, especially on your home floor. And then at the same time, you don't want to extend all your energy all at once. You want to make sure you can, you know, sustain a whole 40 minutes of basketball against a very good team who, you know, these games, as you guys know, rivalry games like Duke versus Carolina, it does not matter what your rank. It doesn't matter, you know, how many pros you have on your team. All those things go out the window. This is about pride and bragging rights at the bottom line. So going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing how Duke responds and looking forward to seeing what Carolina brings to the table as well.
Carlos, the other thing about this game is while, you know, Duke has had some dips here in the last couple of weeks, Carolina has built some serious momentum. I mean, winning three in a row and kind of playing like a team that has found its stride. Now, it's taken a while, but as Mark and I have talked the last couple of days here, tomorrow night will be just the seventh time they've had Cole Anthony, Brandon Robinson, and Garrison Brooks on the floor at the same time in a conference game.
Yeah, and that's been tough on Roy Williams, man. That's the bulk of his talent, especially offensively. Those guys can play both ends of the floor very well. Cole missing those games early on kind of threw off the chemistry of the team, but having them back now, they have been playing a lot better. They've won three games in a row. They're playing better defense. They're sharing the ball. And the biggest thing is they're trusting each other. It's just hard to have that chemistry when you've had injuries throughout the course of the season. Now they got their roster predominantly healthy, and you're seeing what could have happened if they had their guys all year.
Carlos, I want to go back to something you said earlier about senior night, the highs, the lows. You got to kind of stay even keel. It's another game, even though you know who you're playing. How do you do that when it's Cameron Indoor and it is the dudes from 8 miles down the road and they got players, they're red hot, you're a Duke guy, it's senior night. I mean, how do you, you've lived it, you've gone through these before. Yeah. How do you do that in this particular game?
Yeah, it is tough, man, because you know it's going to be your, if you're a senior, it's your last game at your building around your teammates before you either move on to the next level, go on to business, whatever the case may be for some of these seniors. So the bottom line is you're going to be emotional. That's part of it. You got to kind of surrender to it, embrace that moment. But once you step on the court for the game, you got to focus on what coach has been through this a million times over. Follow his leadership. You know, talk to the guys that have been there with you in the battle, that's been through the fire with you. Stay as poised as you can. You're already going to bring it. You know, there's no more self-motivation than Duke versus Carolina on your home court, trying to defend your home court. Last game of the regular season. So that's going to take care of itself. But my honest opinion? A lot of deep breaths. A lot of deep breaths, guys.
I want to switch gears. I want to go to Charlottesville because I think Louisville and Virginia is and we know that Florida State controls their own destiny after the win at Notre Dame the other night. Yep. But Louisville and Virginia are two teams that have always seemed to be on a collision course here. And this game, Carlos, if anything trumps Duke Carolina tomorrow, it might be the winner of this game in terms of how it relates to next week here in the Coliseum.
Yeah, I mean, Virginia's been playing terrific. Literally terrific, terrific basketball. Big wins on the road, big wins at home. They've been playing magnificent. And Louisville's been one of the top teams all year, especially in the conference. I think Jordan Warr has really found his stride again coming on that defense. They're so deep, Louisville is. They're very well coached. Obviously, Matt got those guys running like a well-oiled machine. They had their dips a few weeks ago, but they seem to be back on track. This is going to be a matchup of two titans because in the ACC, obviously, we got Florida State, we got Louisville, we got Virginia, we got Duke. Virginia has really emerged with that championship swag from a year ago, that poise. Their defense is still top-notch. They're finding ways to score offensively and stay in games, and they're making other teams play their pace, which is a slower pace. You know, most games are in the 40s, might get to the 50s, but, you know, that's how they win games. And then Louisville can do everything. They can score inside. They can score outside. They're doing a great job of making their defense create offense for them in transition. One of the deepest teams that we have in college basketball. So going to be a huge, huge game. I'm looking forward to watching that and seeing who comes victorious in that one.
Carlos, you know, a lot of folks are like, man, Virginia wins another close game. They've won seven straight, six of them. It just goes down to a 1 or 2 point game. It seems like almost every night. While people say that's a concern, I think it's just the opposite. I think Virginia is the most comfortable team in America in a tight game inside 2 minutes. And if they can get you into the gutter like that to say, listen, we're going to win this thing. We're going to muck this thing up and keep you under 50. The other guy panics and they are sitting there going, hey, this is what we do. I think it plays right in to the way they love to play.
Yeah, I agree 100%. They've been used to close games running back to last year. Obviously, they had a lot more offensive firepower last year with all the players they lost in the NBA. But this year, they slug it out with you. It's a slugfest. You're going to go 12 rounds with Virginia. They're going to keep it, like you said, in the high 40s, low 50s, and see if you can break under pressure. That's their MO, because they don't really break under pressure. They got a great point guard who makes good decisions. They got veteran guys like Diakite, who's in the middle doing great jobs orchestrating everything. They got a very good team. They're really well coached, and they play solid defense.
All right, we're not going to hold you to this. I'm going to preface this question by saying that you can change your mind before Tuesday, but
okay.
Right now, who do you think makes the deepest run next week here in Greensboro to win it?
Good question. I do really, really enjoy watching Louisville. I think they got everything from top to bottom. They got a star in the war. I think Duke has probably the highest ceiling, so to speak, because they're so young. They've been a little inconsistent. I would like to see them mature a little bit over the next, you know, couple of days. Tonight, obviously Saturday against UNC would be a big test. If I had to pick right now, I would probably say Florida State. I just think from top to bottom, they're very deep. They do a good job. Obviously, Leonard Hamilton got those guys, you know, all over the place on defense, full court pressing. A lot of athletes, scoring could come from anywhere. They rebound the ball very well. If I had to pick today, knowing I can change my mind by Tuesday, I would pick Florida State.
All right. How about that? The preface of changing the mind.
Well, I think that's important.
I give him credit, though.
No, I think that's important. I thought he was going to give some tobacco road love to like NC State or somebody to sit there and say, I'm not going to ride on anybody in the top four. I'm going to go somewhere else.
No, here's why he's not going to do that, because he has to guarantee his seat tomorrow night when he gets to Cameron. He's got to make sure his seat. I mean, look, now I don't know where Hancock and Cuff and all these other cats are going to sit, but I know where number four is going to sit tomorrow night. Number four is going to be about five rows up right behind the scorer's table, sitting right there in the customary former Duke star seats. I know exactly where you're sitting tomorrow night. I don't know where Kelsey's going to sit. I don't know where any of these other people are sitting, but I know where four is sitting tomorrow night. Am I right or wrong?
Absolutely. I'll be right there in the mix with everybody else. You'll see some Shane Battier and Chris Duhans and the rest of the crew up in there tomorrow. Yeah.
Casey Sanders. That's right. The Casey Sanders seats. That's what I always called them, the Casey Sanders seats.
And now you know the rest of the story, right? That's how that game's played.
Hey, Booze, thanks as always. Appreciate it. We look forward to being with you next week. We'll have some good times, and it'll be great to have you back at the ACC tournament. I know this place is one of your favorite spots now, right?
I really enjoy it there, man. Honestly, I really have a good time down there, man. We had some great memories there. I'm looking forward to being back in the building next week.
All right. Carlos Boozer, part of our ACC network coverage. You bet. Thank you.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
We are handing out our pom-poms, the official white ones for the Packer and Durham Arena today as we break bread with everyone.
What are you doing?
What do you mean? I'm handing out 22,000 white pom-poms for everybody. I've been doing this in between breaks.
You know we have to come back in this building next week?
If they let us. All right. We have real talent now, man.
How about Jen Kilner twice in a week with my girl?
We've had great guests all day, all week.
Yes.
But here she comes. I am a little disappointed. No, not in the hair game, because you always look like a million bucks. No.
I'm disappointed we don't have that Courtyard Marriott backdrop.
What I'm disappointed in was the backdrop with the snacks. You come walking up here empty-handed for us.
I just want you to know that there have been some late-night cram sessions that have been going on, and so the snacks are
cut off.
They're gone. There were none to bring, which is bad for
me.
We
still love you. We're still going to have
you. By the way, am I like in a high chair? Yeah. Who was sitting here before? Was this Antonelli?
Yeah.
Was she just trying
to? She was like,
looking down on us as usual.
Yeah, she was.
Staring me down since we played pickup ball as kids growing up. She's staring me down again.
She's tough. She's the captain of our broadcast team.
You know, the other day we were goofing around about who could make a run and all that stuff. How about day one of this tournament? 13, 14, 15.
Right? Although the funny thing was I was laughing thinking about all the teams I was telling you guys about.
Notre Dame.
Watch out for Notre Dame. They've won three in a row. Watch out for Clemson. Okay, that at least I didn't say watch out for Clemson.
No,
I made that part up.
Yeah.
But yeah, 13, 14, 15, and the Deeks still fighting. Who would have thought?
Okay, so now we get to Friday though, and Wake's got 80 minutes under their belt.
Yeah,
and they play Florida State, who has 0 minutes under theirs. Can Jen's team do it again? Can Jen Hoover's team do it again?
You know, at this point, you have to say yes, right? Now, it's going to be a challenge, but I will say one of the things that I think has been really impressive with them and what they have done in this tournament, and just kind of breaking it down, and LaChina Robinson and I were talking about this after the game, was they are looking at their matchups. Like, they are paying a lot of attention to their scouting report. They're a smart team, right? So they got players in foul trouble. Janelle Bailey. Foul trouble. Elizabeth Kitley, foul trouble. They take two of the biggest players of the other team out of the game. They come back on the floor, they go right at them. Their matchups, their smarts are so good. So if they can keep that matchup savvy and just gut out the physical part, who knows what could happen?
Well, here's what we do know. Louisville is the number one seed.
We do know
they've
this.
Earned it.
Yes.
They've had a couple days off like everybody else. It's seeded 1 through 4. Are we talking about everybody's chasing this team? Again, the number one seed has won it 7 consecutive years. It's really been a dominant position, which, hey, the best team normally does do well here. But there's always surprises in tournament action. But is this Louisville's tournament to lose?
Yes, I do think it is. And I think that if Louisville plays their best basketball, they will not lose. I mean, they're the best team at this tournament, hands down. Offense, defense, they have it all. So I think it's really on them. But that being said, the way this year has gone and the fact that they get one of the teams in Syracuse who they lost to earlier this season, and I know they were without Elizabeth Balogun in that game, but the thing is, the way this league has been this year, you know, if a team gets it right on any given night, I don't think they are as dominant, Louisville, this year as Notre Dame was last year. I'll put it that way. I still think they're the best team overall, and I give them a ton of credit, but I do think it's a little more open.
It's interesting. You mentioned Balogun missing those games to join the Nigerian national team.
Right.
All good calls, all understood, as Debbie said earlier. But, Jen, here's the thing. Dana Evans took more of the load.
Mm-hmm.
Kylie Shook emerged a little bit. It made him a better team by maybe losing those two games when she came back. I mean, it's been bang, bang, bang the rest of the way for Jeff Walz' team.
Yeah.
I mean, they seem to get – and I know it came at a cost, but they seem to get better – in her absence, because other players were forced to do other things and they made a change in the way they attack, I guess.
Well, I think, and that happened too with the couple games that they missed at the end of the season, that they missed Dana Evans was out dealing with an injury and Balogun out again.
Yeah.
So they had to have other players step up and fill roles. And I do think that that could help them. However, you want to have your right mix going come tournament time, and you want all those people on the floor together. But absolutely, I think that this is a team in Louisville. Dana Evans is best player on this team, and she's worked to get there. But can we just talk about Jasmine Jones for a minute?
Sure.
She's one of my most favorite players to watch. And I said, if we could have a jazz cam on that player and just keep it on her the whole time. You guys, if you're sitting up here, just you make your own jazz cam. Just ISO her out. She is so much fun to watch. So smooth.
When Debbie Antonelli was with us, I had made the comment to her that when Louisville went to NC State, it was number one, the most important game of the regular season. It was also a change of the guard per se, because at the time NC State was in control in first place at home. Louisville was struggling going into the game. Louisville made a statement that night. They fell behind early and then went on a crazy run and have never looked back the rest of the way. I know it's just one game. Who knows how this is all going to play out in Greensboro, but I thought that was kind of the title switch, if you will, in this league for this particular year for women's basketball.
I agree, and I think it was both ways. I think it was seeing Louisville ascending, and it started this identity crisis of sorts for NC State for a while there, where they're all of a sudden, Elisa Kinane, who at times this year you looked at and thought, this player is dominant.
Right.
She is a force to be measured with and handled on the inside, and a lot of people can't do that. And then all of a sudden, she's just getting physically beat up by some team. She's struggling. They're not hitting threes. And all of a sudden, it was, you know, Wes Moore was shuffling his lineup around with who's going to be on the floor. And then they come back and they hit 13 straight threes in their last game. So, I mean, maybe they have righted the ship, but I think which NC State team shows up is going to be a question.
It's also in sports, and it doesn't matter which one you pick. Confidence, you know, that whole mental belief that, you know what, we belong.
Yeah.
This is ours. We're better than you. The toughness factor, all that comes into play. I think this is where Louisville really has a big edge. I mean, NC State, as talented as they are, Wes has had great teams the last couple of years, but down the stretch, there's always been that, I mean, are we really that team?
Yeah.
Can NC State win here and cut down the nets for the first time since 91? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
But I think Louisville knows that, hey, you know what? Like you said, if they play well, they're going to win.
Two most confident teams, I think, coming into this tournament.
Duke.
Yes.
I knew it.
I only had them like six straight games at one point in the season. And the funny thing was, so we had the game that Duke played at Virginia. And at one point, probably in the third quarter, there were still more turnovers than field goals made in that game. And I remember looking at China going, we got these guys a lot coming up. This could be a long run here. And then all of a sudden, they started finding that mojo. I know you guys have been talking about it. Gurecki could have been ACC Player of the Year. I mean, I think this team is so dangerous right now.
Well, it's interesting. And Joe M.P. McCallie is going to be with us late in the show here today. We talk about Haley Gurecki, Odom, Williams. I mean, it's now become more of a comprehensive package.
Yeah.
Was that what they had to go through in order to become that?
Maybe.
Are you still scratching your head about what happened?
A little bit, but I think also the injuries to their point guard position and getting Kyra Lambert, Michaela Boykin back to full health was a huge part. Let's not overlook that, because those two, while young, it's hard to believe they're both, you know, Boykin still being, I think, a redshirt freshman, it's hard to believe because the 2 years she was out. But I think what those two add, Lambert being fully healthy, Boykin being a great asset. She's another one of my favorites. I call her Michaela Money Boykin when she starts knocking down those threes. You can use that. But I think adding them into the X factor that is Odom, who is the greatest X factor in this league, in my opinion. When she's on, you can't stop her. And then the do-it-all Gurecki. I just think they're a great team right now.
I like it when there's a when you have a team that's got a player that can just take over.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were kidding around about there's three players still left in this tournament that have scored at least 30 points in the game. Duke's got one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing with such great confidence coming down the stretch. And if it was somebody other than Louisville, and again, I know NC State fans are like, man, we were so overdue to win one 1991. I'm with you. I think Duke's the one to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Moving down the road here.
Yeah, I agree. But as you found out, don't listen to me or anybody else in terms of who to keep an eye on.
Because you didn't mention Wake Forest the other night.
Right, right. Wait, I was watch out for Beatrice Mom from Mirror Miami and Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this tournament's been great.
But that's the beauty of sports, isn't it? I mean, we could sit here and analyze it and give you a thousand reasons why Team A is going to beat Team B. Then you watch the game, you go, you know what? I say it all the time during the football season, the more you read, the more you study, the dumber you get when you watch these games. And it's so true.
Hey, wait. No. Let me tell you. I want you to show Pack all your colors.
Because
he gets on me about colors all the time.
You got to have the color, the color-coded, right?
Come on, Pack. Okay. See, you got to have colors.
Let me explain the difference here. Let me explain the difference here. You two are television broadcasters. I'm in a radio world. We are black and white on this side. We come to television and everything's color coordinated and all that craziness. I got a pencil and a pen.
He gets on me about my conference sheet.
No,
gets on me. I mean, you know, I got my thing for the final weekend of the regular season. It's cute.
It matches your tie.
Can we start our push? Wes and I have a push for Sharpie. We need to have Sharpie collection.
ACC Network Sharpie collection. I mean, all the colors, right?
I had to use some weird sort of magenta. This is not garnet.
I am embarrassed to tell you, I have Sharpies with my name on it.
What?
I swear to God.
I'm jealous. Well, how did this happen?
You don't even care.
I don't even care.
Are they only black Sharpies?
Yeah, actually they are. They asked me what color. I said black's fine.
Pat, come on.
I'm just sorry.
Guest of the show.
What can I tell you?
All right. Thanks to Jen Hildreth. You're the best. Oh, Jen's going to stay?
That's even better.
What are you kicking her off for?
No, we're not kicking her off. She's staying.
I'm going to call the game in a couple hours.
Right. You know what? Just sit right here. We'll let you do it from the Packer and Durham perch.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
As we continue to put our white pom-poms in our arena, we'll be here till 10 a.m. 11 a.m. is the first of four here in Greensboro today.
Thought you'd hand out coasters while we were here, too, since we have the new Packer we have those. Coaster.
Yeah, there's not many of those. Those are keep your hands on those. Not many of those left, but I do have 22,000 white pom-poms I've ordered for today's games, and they look spectacular so far.
Packer and Durham coaster. Right there it is, kids.
Mm-hmm. I will tell you. And I put on Twitter earlier, I've always wanted to have like a personalized court.
You've got it.
We got it, man. You kidding me?
They put your name in lights. And you your name's not on the floor.
Yet. Let me say that next week for the men's game.
You're going to wander down there to the floor with a Sharpie.
I will tell you, we opened the show talking about walking around here at 5:30.
Man, this building's
got some great memories now.
Ooh,
great memories.
This is
big time.
See, remember how, like, when, full disclosure, Jen and I, when I started television, I had the great honor to work with Jen Hildreth. We had a blast.
she
started calling me the Wessipedia because of all the things in the ACC that I would come up with.
Yes.
Well, the problem with this show is there's like two volumes
now. I know. It's the double set.
Well, and he started talking about one of the great plays in the men's tournament history was in 1974. Wake Forest beat Carolina in this building. And Lee Foy threw the ball the length of the floor to Eddie Payne of Wake Forest, who caught it, shot faked Ed Stahl, and scored. And when he threw the ball the length of the floor, it allegedly grazed the bottom of the scoreboard.
Ah.
And Wake Forest says it never touched it.
Never
North
touched
Carolina fans said, oh, yeah, it ricocheted. It was easy. You could hear it. Look, there's scuff marks on the ball.
So when you walk in this building, you start to think of stuff like that. And it kind of brings us full circle. That was a big upset. Here we are today.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Okay.
Okay.
Jen Hoover and Wake Forest play Sioux Semeral twice. Close games, relatively speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Ivana Rotz has been really good the first 2 days. Conti's been good. How do they do it again?
That's a great question. I think they've got to keep working the glass. I mean, that's been a focus for Sioux Semeral and Florida State.
Right.
Coming down the stretch as well. They need to continue to attack and be aggressive. I know they're tired and their legs are coming out from under them. I think Conti's going to probably have to do a little bit more offensively. She's picked her moments in the first couple of games. I think they're going to need more than Rotza to beat Florida State. Florida State is a great offensive team. They can really score the basketball. I mean, Gillespie, Ekamu, Wofolk. If two of the three go off, they can still beat you. If all three manage to do what they are capable of, then I don't think Wake Forest can take them down. However, Wake has done a great job, as we talked about earlier, taking other teams out of their comfort zone and making their best players go to the bench in foul trouble. So we'll see if Florida State can be disciplined enough to stay on the floor, keep their best players on the floor.
Am I making too much of the potential Gillespie-Rotza thing? Or is that a thing today?
I mean, I think it can be a thing.
Okay.
I mean, two very different players, but the length on Rotza and Gillespie in terms of where she plays, you look at Gillespie, you kind of picture her. If you just look at her, you think she might be more of an interior player, but she lives on the wing a little more, too. So I do think those two, that matchup could be a good one.
Okay. I want to talk legs.
Okay.
All right? Because I keep hearing about, hey, you know, third game and third.
Yeah.
And this is true, men or women.
Yeah.
Right?
Mr. Packer, your shoe is here.
I'll tell you what, I don't want to get off beaten path. I saw this thing at 5:30 this morning.
Yeah.
It was floating around at 5:30.
I was offering a week's salary if I could have the remote control for that thing for at least
Well, the guy's right there on the floor.
See that guy? I may just take him out. Right
that guy.
Because I want to get the remote control of my size 96 shoe. All right, I want to get back to legs.
That will not fit, by the way, in the basement.
I'll get the shoes
later. That does not fit in the basement, by the way.
Yes, it would. legs.
Yeah.
You know, when we had Jen on, our original Jen, this morning.
Yeah.
She said her kids are so excited to play. They couldn't wait to play. And again, I know there's the whole euphoria of, hey, we knocked off North Carolina. We beat Virginia Tech. We're the 13th seed. It's exciting, and so forth. They can't wait to play. At some point in time, though, you got to figure, and this game's going to tip off at 11 a.m. At some point in time, given Florida State's offensive mindedness and aggressiveness. You got to figure Wake's legs are going to get tested where you go, oh, it feels like Wes and Pack trying to run a marathon today after 50 feet. We're done with this nonsense. This is not, we're going to go nowhere. At what point in time, though, does it hit you in a day three when you're playing? Does it hit you at all? Maybe your team's playing with such confidence, man. Forget the pain. Let's go win.
No, I think it definitely hits. And I think halftime is going to be a big part of it. Where are they at halftime? If they go into that halftime break and they're down by, I'm going to say, double digits, I think it's over. I don't think that they can come back from that based on the fatigue and the wear and tear of the last 2 days. Now, that adrenaline can carry you pretty far as long as you're close. You're within fighting distance, then maybe you come back out of that locker room and you can still put up a good fight. But I think that's going to be the point you look at. Halftime, are they down double digits? It's going to be tough.
What happens if they're up?
Hey,
now what?
Then we'll see what the tempo looks like in the second half, and we'll see how much confidence Florida State's playing with, because that's what I want to see out of Florida State. They've lost three of their last five coming in. I mean, it's been a great season for Sue Semeraut. It's a super talented team. They've won 22 games, but they've been win-loss these last few down the stretch. And they've lost to some teams they should not have lost to, including Notre Dame, which game that I called in their regular season finale. So I think if they are lacking confidence, that's the other part of that. If Wake Forest stays in the game, the longer they stay in the game, the more that confidence could be tested of Florida State.
Is Florida State, of the four, is Florida State the one that might be the most tenuous of the four?
I think so, because of the defensive side of the ball.
Go ahead. And
you know Georgia Tech is going to play defense. Louisville's the best defensive team in the league. That would be my biggest concern. That and that intangible of they just haven't won consistently down the stretch.
Tell you what, man, the first game to me is the most intriguing right out of the gate with Wake Forest.
Of the four?
And I'll tell you why. Mm. Because you got the Cinderella story.
Upset special, baby.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that makes the tournament so great is when you get a chance to have one of those teams that really nobody expected. Right? I mean, Wake Forest, after going WW, especially last night. I mean, they got Virginia Tech yesterday. You're thinking, man, come on, man. Coach Brooks got their team waiting. Mm-hmm. Everybody's fired up about beating North Carolina. Virginia Tech will take care of business and we'll have chalk like nobody's wrong.
Right.
Hey, you know, everything's in place except for that 13 that's sitting there, and you're going to see him right out of the gate this morning, 11 a.m. So to me, that's the intrigue game right out of the gate.
Well, I'll tell you, beyond Wake Forest, I think the team that is a little compelling to me is what Coach Mack's done at Boston College.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the team, and they won the game last night, beat Clemson, and Amanda had a great run. I mean, the win they had on Wednesday was fantastic. But, Jen, here's a team in B.C. that is not a brand name team. And yet in 2 years, we talked about this the other night, she's had an amazing coaching journey. And here's Boston College now. And, yeah, they get Duke, who we've talked about, and all the things that Coach P and the Blue Devils bring to the table. But Boston College has got that sneaky Boston College feel to them, right?
They do. And, you know, I mean, they have a lot of good pieces with that team. They've got the interior with Emma Guy, who I think what my issue with Guy is she's got a great field goal percentage, but her hands have got to be stronger in there. Sometimes she's not strong enough, but they've got the interior piece. You know, the Taylor Soule's a great X factor type player. Are you worried about the shoe? It's coming.
That dude's going to land that thing right here. Packers going to take it.
I'm not worried about the shoe. The shoe ought to be worried about us.
That's it. There you go. Right.
Don't bring it too close. Yeah. Oh, gosh. It's covered.
Yeah.
You don't think that wouldn't fit in the basement, Wes? Seriously.
Be a tight fit.
You don't think Chester and Fuller would be riding shotgun in that shoe before you know it?
Ooh,
you can count on it.
Here's the thing, you guys.
All right.
For that matchup.
BC Duke.
Here's the thing. Who defends Odom? Who on Boston College takes care of Liana Odom? Because when she elevate her length at her position, the way she elevates on that jump shot, I think she's going to be a really tough matchup. And then just trying to, you can figure they're going to go in. And number one, they're going to try to take Gorecki away, which nobody can completely do. She'll go get her points from the free throw line. But then after that, who's going to take care of Odom? And I'm not sure the answer to that question. Maybe Soule.
Jen, how important is the fact that the only time they played this year was December?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
so long ago.
I mean, it seems like, hey, that was we did play them.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, you get that unbalanced schedule sometimes, but they played early December. And you know, that game probably means nothing today. Don't you think?
You throw it out. Throw it out the window. That was a different Duke team, first of all.
And a different BC team.
Yeah, but both BC's grown as the season has gone along. So, I don't think that one means an awful lot.
You've seen Georgia Tech and NC State. Nell Fortner has done amazing work in one year.
Yes.
Pond is a great player.
Yep.
We love Kiara Fletcher. She's been on the show, been fantastic. But we talked about NC State. Do you see the potential there? Obviously, Georgia Tech won the regular season meeting.
Yeah, the potential is there.
Okay.
The likelihood is low, I'm going to say, for the upset in this one. Now, we know Georgia Tech works. I mean, they work so hard. I think they're the hardest working team in the conference. Lorella Kubai is the greatest example of that. They had to have 30 from Pond to beat NC State in the regular season. I think they're going to need about 30 again, and I don't know that she can do that. I mean, truthfully, I just think it's a really tough matchup for Georgia Tech to go up against NC State. And if they're hitting shots the way they're hitting and they're opening up space for Kinane, that's why they're so hard to beat. That's why they were so good for so much of the season, because you couldn't spend too much effort and time trying to double down on Kinane because they were going to knock down shots in the perimeter. When they started missing those shots on the perimeter, she was missing more shots too. So I think that's going to be a tough one.
And as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned, BC, Georgia Tech, tag, you're it? Or do you think one of them is more comfortable than the other?
Well, you know, Georgia Tech has had the luxury or the advantage, I'm not going to call it a luxury, of being in that last four in. They've made it to that point, so I suppose they've got a little bit of an edge. They won the game they had to win to stay in that NCAA field, so I think they're in the field, barring what happens around the rest of the country. And Boston College, I think you could see them both. I don't know that Boston College may be under a little more pressure to win today to make that happen.
Okay.
I think we were going to go to break. Are we still going to go to break here? I think we're going to go to break, because when we come back, somebody's getting ready to make a major mistake on this show.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.